This afternoon, I would like to speak to you from Psalm 103 for those who have Bibles. I want to read the first 18 verses of Psalm 103. If you don't have a Bible, you just have to listen. Listen more carefully. The reason I'm speaking on this psalm is because Thanksgiving is coming. The one holiday that the world cannot molest. And so we should be thankful people. We should be thankful for all that the Lord has given to us, all that He's done for us, all the ways that He keeps us in life, provides for our needs, has provided every good thing for us, and also then through Jesus Christ our Lord has given us salvation if we believe in Him. And if we don't yet believe in Him, we can this afternoon if the Lord will work in our heart. So why don't we pray together here before I begin to speak to you. Father, take our hearts in your hands this afternoon and mold them and shape them to your will. Work in us so that we might be believers in you. And for those of us who know you, that we might trust in you at all times and pour out our hearts before you. For you are a refuge for us. You have done so many good things for us, we cannot count them. Your thoughts towards us are very great. If we were to count them, they would be more than the number of the sand and the sea. And so we praise you, dear Lord, for all of your excellent greatness and goodness, the worthiness of the Lord Jesus to receive our praise this afternoon, and you, our Father, who sent him, and the Holy Spirit who works in our heart. So be with us now during this time, and come to us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 103 and verse 1, this is a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his children's children is righteousness to his children's to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Usually when you think of blessing, you think of God's blessing his creature man with blessings. He is the God from whom all blessings flow. He is the one who gives them, and we are the ones who receive them. But here the psalmist David is exhorting his own soul to bless God, to give God glory and thanksgiving and praise by listing to himself what God had done for him during his life. I pray that each one of us would give this consideration here this afternoon. This is what God is looking for from us. He is looking for us to bless him in our heart, to be truly thankful for all that he does for us. At whatever stage of life that we are in, the person who knows the Lord ought to praise the Lord. If he or she can do nothing else for him, they ought to do that. Even if you're on a bed and you're sick, you can praise God. That's one thing you can do to glorify God. You might feel useless, but you are not. When you praise and thank God for what he is doing, not only for you, but for others around you. Psalm 147, verse 2 says, praise is comely. That's the old-fashioned word for beautiful. That is, it's beautiful in the mind and the sight of God. And so, David is teaching us here that all that is within us ought to bless his holy name. In verses 1 to 10, we find the blessings of life and eternal life listed for us here. In verses 11 to 14, we find the blessings of God's mercy listed. In verses 15 to 18, we find the awful shortness of man's life contrasted with the wonderful unending length of God's blessings upon those who are true believers. Let us receive this afternoon this truth, that each of us should bless the Lord with all that is within us. First of all, the blessings of life and eternal life are recounted. We are told here not to forget all God's benefits. There is that tendency, isn't there? As the days go by, we think back and we think, well, what has God done for me? But God has done many, many, many good things for each one of us, and we need to store those up in our mind. We are not to forget God's benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, there's a tendency to do this, even in the most godly of people, to forget his benefits. David, who was the man after God's own heart, he must have had times himself when he forgot God's benefits, when he was tempted to do so, when he was in adverse circumstances that he was in, but he addresses his own soul not to do so. Let me ask if this is something that you do. Dear ones who are here today, do you exhort your own soul not to forget all that God has done for you? I hope that it will come to light for each of us on the judgment day, which is most surely coming, that we were a people who reminded ourselves often of God's many blessings to us. It's only those who cannot bless the Lord for the gift of Christ who will end up missing out on the blessings of eternity. But you need not miss out on the blessings of eternity if you will thank and praise the Lord for Jesus Christ, who is given for you. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Whatever circumstances that you are in, you should bless the Lord. The greatest of these benefits is placed at the top of the list, who forgives all your iniquities. Now, that's an amazing statement in itself when we stop to think of the many sins that we commit during a lifetime before God. Now, that doesn't mean that we should or that we should excuse ourselves, that it's so. Whenever we see sin in ourselves, we need to bring it to God and confess it before God, and through Jesus Christ, ask forgiveness of that iniquity, that sin. Iniquity means the guilt of sin. Now, as we think upon our sins, we need to stop and ask ourselves whether God really forgives the guilt of all of these sins when we believe in Jesus. And there is no doubt that He does, and that God will forgive all the sins that you have ever committed in the past, all the ones that you know that you yourselves are guilty of now, and all the sins into the future as well will be forgiven. Again, no excuse to commit sin in the future or to think that because God forgives all my sins that then in the future I'm free to commit them. That's not the case. But what it's saying here is that that's how great God's salvation is. God's salvation forgives all of our iniquities. What a beautiful thought this is. If you believe in God, a part of the holy activity you ought to be engaged in with all of your mind and soul and heart and strength is to bless the Lord. To bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. If you love God, you will praise God. And that not occasionally. At all times I will bless the Lord. It says in Psalm 34:1, His praise my mouth employ, my soul shall in Jehovah boast. The meek shall hear with joy. You know, if you love God, you'll praise God. And when you think of the second commandment, the second greatest commandment, that is, which is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you should understand that it's not to be characteristic of a believer to praise God before other people without really thinking about it. But that you should do it is undeniable. He's forgiven you all your sins. Why should you be silent? Why should you never tell anyone around you? Why should you not proclaim to others that you have been set free from the bondage of sin and that all your iniquities have been forgiven? Should we not greatly desire to tell other people about what Christ has done for our soul? It should not be a difficult thing for us if we have found grace. If we have found grace in God's sight, we should be praying and eager to tell others of what the Lord has done for us and to praise Him before men. We should not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus or ashamed of the gospel. But we should bless the Lord in our prayer, our times of prayer in private, and we should bless the Lord in the midst of the great congregation in the church. And we should bless Him for forgiving us all of our many sins when we are with our neighbors, relatives, and friends. They may think that you are crazy. But so be it. Be a fool for Christ's sake. Speak of the beauty and glory of the Lord and what He has done for you in obeying the law perfectly on your behalf and in laying down His life for your sins. But you see, first and foremostly of all, it says here, everything that is within us should praise and bless His holy name. There ought to be the repeating of what He has done for us on a regular basis to ourselves in forgiving us and choosing to no longer hold our sins against us. We need to go over it in our mind. Let's think about the fact that the first four of these blessings enumerated here are all related to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. They have to do with God's having given us the free gift of salvation and eternal life on the basis of the redemption in Christ. God forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction or the pit, it says here. If the second of these blessings only relates to the healing of the body in this present life, that is the healing of all of our diseases, then what is being said here cannot be true because the disease which leads to our death would not be healed. But it is. And it will be in the resurrection. But you should understand that when you come to Jesus Christ that you experience the new birth. And as a result of that, the beginning of your eternal healing has begun. And the beauty of that is that when you die, your spirit will never die if you believe in Jesus. It will never die. Your spirit will never die anyway. We will go to either heaven or hell. But I'm saying to you that you will not die spiritually if you believe in Jesus Christ when you die physically. Your body will die, that most surely. But death is the separation of the body and the spirit for a time until the day of the resurrection when Jesus Christ shall come again and judge the living and the dead. It's a beautiful thing to think about, is it not? That Jesus Christ has made us whole, if we've believed in Him, made us well spiritually by giving us eternal life, and we can truly rejoice in it. We can truly praise the Lord. When we remember that the final, complete, total healing of our body will take place at the resurrection of the dead, then we truly can bless the Lord. It's coming. It's most surely coming. It's true, we'll die physically, but we will never die spiritually. And one day this same body that we have lived in shall be resurrected and shall be more beautiful and strong and glorious than it ever was here in this life. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I saw a picture of myself yesterday on Facebook of when I was 27 years old, and I was shocked because I don't look like that anymore. I wish I did. I was all right in those days, but I look at myself in the mirror and I compare myself to the picture when I was 27 and I go, oh no, this is not good. But you see what I'm saying? We're all moving on towards death. It's inevitable unless the Lord comes first. But what I'm trying to say is that you and I should not be afraid, but we should bless the Lord. We should look forward to the time of our death, because it's far better to be with Christ than it is to be here upon the earth. So do not be afraid if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what you can do here while you're upon the earth, praise Him for these things that are mentioned here in this psalm. Bless the living, risen Christ, O my soul, for all these saving mercies, these tender mercies, that He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, these tender mercies. We think of God as strong and almighty and powerful, but our God can be very tender and gentle too. Thy gentleness has made me great, David says. God does not deal with us according to our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad that that's the case? Oh, what would it be if it was a matter of strict justice between ourselves and God? It would not be a pretty sight for us. But the beauty and glory is that all of our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west, it says here. So far have your transgressions been removed from you. Oh, glory to think that sin will not cling to me, either now or in the day of the resurrection. It shall not have its way with me now that I'm a Christian. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you not remember to praise God for what He's done for you on hundreds and thousands of days in your life? Sometime you ought to stop and write down how many days you've lived. And just take account of them. Just see how many days you've been given. God has given every single one of those days to you. Will you not praise Him that your youth has been renewed like the eagle time and time again? I can bear witness to this. I'm getting older all the time, but my youth is being renewed day by day. And that's what happens because of the faithfulness of God. If God did not renew you day by day, you would just wither and perish physically. You would. But you see, God renews you. He renews your strength every day, and how good He is, how faithful He is, what tender mercies He shows to you. Bless the Lord that He renews you in this way. Bless Him that although He may be angry with you as a believer for a moment, it says here, His favor is for a lifetime. Can you believe that? Well, that's what you should believe, because honestly, we forget that sometimes, don't we, even as Christians? We think that God is angry with us, some sin we have committed, some negligence, something in our heart that is not good. And we confess the Lord and think to ourselves, how can the Lord forgive that? But the Lord does and restores us to His favor. When we confess our sins, we sense His presence once again and His blessing. He may be angry with you as a believer for a moment, but His favor is for a lifetime. God's wrath and anger are upon those who do not believe in Jesus as a stated case. But in Jesus, it's all removed. So when God is angry with a believer, it is only chastening. It is only child correction. It is only training in love. And whom the Lord loves, He chastens. You see, you may feel horrible over the chastening of the Lord, but just remember this, that His anger is only for a moment with you, a believer. His favor is for a lifetime, and indeed forever, if we will only know it. He has graciously not dealt with you according to your sins, nor punished you according to your iniquities. Instead, all this was laid on Christ. Do you see it? The reason that you are not punished is you believe in Jesus. So the worst experience that you can ever have in this lifetime as a believer is only related to the chastening of the Lord, which He does in love. Oh, you ought to rejoice that that is so. For the wicked, there will be no end to punishment. It's eternal. But for the righteous, those who trust in Jesus, there is no condemnation. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's so wonderful, a blessing. Secondly, we find the blessing of God's mercies elaborated upon. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, He removes our transgressions from us. You should bless the Lord this afternoon if you know Him, that your sins and transgressions of God's holy law have been removed completely, never to be brought up again for all of eternity. God is not going to bring up your sins at the judgment. Oh yes, there will be an evaluation for you as the believer, but it will only be in terms of a reward or lack of it. The only thing you can lose as a believer is reward. That's a great thing. But nevertheless, you will not lose your soul. And you need to understand that. You need to remember that, and you need to praise the Lord that it is so. No matter how you look at yourself and how badly you think of yourself, remember that Jesus is perfect, pure, and holy, and God looks upon Him favorably, and He looks upon you as though He's looking at Him. And He sees Him and not you. That's justification. That's the beauty of sins forgiven. He's not going to bring them up anymore. You might have people in this life that will bring up things that you did against them, and they might bring them up over and over again, which they shouldn't do. But with God, it will never be the case. Because God is faithful, and He is true in everything that He has said, because of His covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord Jesus would satisfy Him in every respect of His judgment and the sufferings which we so richly deserve are poured out on Jesus at the cross. Bless the Lord, O my soul, that they will not be poured out upon me or anyone in this room who believes in Jesus. God has placed the remembrance of them in the deepest sea. He has cast them behind His back. He will remember them no more because He chooses to remember them no more. Even more than this, He has chosen because of Christ to spiritually adopt you, bring you into His family, so that you become part of the family of God. How is it when a child is adopted who is unloved by his natural parents, how grateful he is if he's thinking rightly? Are you grateful that even though you are unworthy to be adopted into God's family, that you have been through Jesus Christ our Lord? Bless the Lord, O my soul. It is true, you are God's child. And He will deal with you as a child. He will pity you as a father pities his children. So the Lord pities those who fear Him. God has this inheritance laid up for you. Inheritance in heaven, which is imperishable and undefiled and will not pass away. Are you looking forward to it? You should. It's not going to go anywhere. It's reserved for you in heaven. God was indeed your Father before you were converted to Christ, but only in the sense of your creation. That He created you. During that time, you were still a child of wrath all the way to the time that you believed in Him. Even as the rest who are unbelievers, that's the way that you were before you were converted to Him, before you believed in Him, before you took Him to be your Savior. Wrath and anger were upon you continually, if you only knew it. And most people don't even know it, because God's got it reserved, and it's stored up until the day when He'll display it in the day of judgment to those who have not believed in Jesus Christ, who have not been changed in the new birth. He was merciful to you, however, believer, when He saved you. He was gracious to you. You've now found Him to be slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and mercy. When He sees you backsliding in your heart, He strives with you to bring you back. Do you believe that? That's how the Bible terms it. And even in this striving, He will not keep His anger forever. He does not deal with you this way. He deals with you, and He has saved you for Jesus' sake. He has taken pity upon you and has set His love upon you, and He has lifted you up out of the mire of sin. And since He has saved you, He will continue to show you mercy for Christ's sake and pity you. And He will love you and care for you and provide for you in every way to get through this life. He will lavish His spiritual blessings upon you. Oh, how active our faith ought to be. We ought not to be filled with doubts and fears continually as believers. We need to come close to God. We need to draw near to Him, that He might draw near to us. He knows your weaknesses, that you still cannot keep His commandments perfectly, but He has put the fear of you in Himself and the love of Himself within your heart. He remembers that you are dust, it says here. Oh, what a statement. He remembers that you are dust, and yet in your weakness He will make you strong by His grace. That's His purpose. And then, very briefly and finally, in verses 15 to 18, we find the beauty and the glory of the covenant mercies of God. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to His children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to such as remember His commandments to do them. is good for us as people to realize how short life really is. Life is very short. For you who are young people, it seems very long. When I was a young child, I used to think that a summer was like a year is now in length of time. A summer seemed to last on and on when I was 5 to 10 years old. I turned 64 yesterday, and it seems like this year has gone by just like that. That's how fast time moves when you start getting older. That's exactly right. You can't even remember all the years clearly as you look back. You try to remember all those good things that the Lord has done. You have impressions of them. Perhaps you have particular memories of them. And that's good. You should remember them. Store them up in your mind and heart. Do you realize that God stores them all up in His heart and mind? And He can remember them perfectly. He can remember you perfectly, just as you were when you were little Hannah's age. Just as much as He can if you're 90 or 95, 96 years old. He can see it that clearly. He's outside of it in time. And yet He sees you right as you are, now in time. There's nothing lacking with God. There is everything to bless God for. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I don't know if you know the Lord or not. I'm sure that it can be very discouraging to get old. And it may be a very fearful experience, not knowing what will happen when you die. But listen, listen, my dear ones. If you believe in Jesus, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. It says here, and Christ's righteousness will do you and your children and your grandchildren good. If you believe in Jesus and your children and your grandchildren believe in Jesus, it will keep you and them in the favor and blessings of God all the way through this short life and into eternity where we are all headed. What a glorious thing God is doing. For the person who fears God, loves God, blesses God, for all the blessings of salvation in Jesus Christ, there is nothing to fear. You can embrace your future and look forward to what lies ahead. God is waiting for you with outstretched arms, saying, "Come, my children, inherit the kingdom which has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world." The proof that you keep God's commandments to do them comes from your loving Him for what He has done for you. If you love God, keep His commandments. The proof that you'll be welcomed into heaven is that you are now remembering by grace, the grace of Christ, that this is what you ought to do, to keep His commandments, to do them. You know that you are not saved by keeping the commandments. You are saved by Christ. But your faith in God, in Christ, leads you to go about, to do, and to keep His commandments. Faith without works is dead. But blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. If you remember to bless the Lord for the benefits which He has bestowed upon you through the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have all eternity, all of eternity, to praise and to bless God, and it will be none too much. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do give You thanks for this passage of Scripture. We give You thanks that You, through Jesus Christ our Lord, have given us such grace that we can bless you. And we pray that we would bless you with all of our soul, and that on this day and in the days to come, that we would forget none of your benefits, that you heal all of our diseases, you forgive all of our iniquities, and you redeem our life from the pit. You crown us with loving kindness and compassion. Oh, may we be a thankful people at this Thanksgiving time. May we be thankful at all times, and in everything give thanks, because we know it's the will of God for us. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.